this is the Social Graces GNC 90.7 from the Hudson Studio in New York. I'm Nancy Marin, your host for the Social Graces program. The Social Graces program covers all things pertaining to etiquette, manners, and protocol. Hi, this is Nan Marin, and I'm in the Hudson Studio, WGXC 90.7. And I have a special guest today. Dick Sable is here, and we're going to be talking about minding your Christmas manners. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, Nan.
Glad to have you back.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Dick Sable has quite a resume. He has worked on Broadway with the musical A Little Night Magic.
No, A Little Night Music.
A Little Night Music.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Directed by Hal Prince, and Promises, Promises, which was also Hal Prince, right, the producer?
No, that was David Merrick.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
What is with my notes here today? Your films include Cotton Comes to Harlem, Come Back Charleston Blues. Both of those were produced by Samuel Goldwyn.
Yes, Samuel Goldwyn Jr.
And you've had, you were acted in many daytime dramas, which were soap operas, right?
Yes, just about all of them, but small parts. And I had one part on the vampire show, Dark Shadows.
Oh, I bet I saw you.
I was killed off on that.
Now, why would they do that? And you've worked with Jackie Gleason on The Honeymooners.
Right, yeah.
And the
Twice. I did two Honeymooners.
The TV show Route 66.
Wow. Where did you find that?
I don't know.
My. Yeah. Julie Newmar starred in that.
Oh, and you also had a special with Bob Hope's?
Bob Hope in Central Park. No, it wasn't. It was a summertime show.
Okay.
But it was a special. Glenn Campbell was a star in that.
And Jackie Gleason as well. I just saw Glenn Campbell up in Utica.
Oh.
It's his concert? It's his final tour.
Oh.
Yeah. It's over now. He's got, I forgot what he has. He has some illness.
Well, it's so he's Alzheimer's. Done. But
Oh, okay, yeah, yes. Yeah. So.
But how wonderful you got to see the see
yes,
his final.
Yes, he's one of my favorites. He's from D-Light.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
All of his time off during the special, he was off on the sidelines in the park signing autographs. Mm-hmm. There are usually a lot of stars they don't want to bother.
Yeah.
He was just so nice.
He's from my neck of the woods.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he was born in Delight, Arkansas.
Oh.
Yeah, so I listened to him all of my growing up years. Oh. So we had to go see him when we heard he was doing his final tour.
Yeah, they did a tribute to him on the Grammys last season. It was really very nice.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to be met. He's not gone, but he's not going to be touring anymore.
Right, right.
So we're lucky that we got to see him.
Yes.
Yeah. And I also wanted to say that, because sometimes I forget to say this, if anyone listening would like to suggest a topic for the Social Graces program, you could email me at nan@wgxc.org, and I would appreciate your ideas. So today we're going to be talking about minding your Christmas manners.
Uh-oh.
And there's a lot of those we have to mind. I thought we'd start with Christmas cards. There might be only three days of a 365-year that you need a real card to be sent, and that would be a Christmas card, a birthday card, and a sympathy card. Don't you think those three justify you writing out a handwritten note, sending a card instead of an email?
Yeah, I think so.
And people love getting real cards instead of an email, especially at Christmas. It's a very long tradition, and it actually started in England. It was a British teenager who was 16 or 17 that made the first Christmas card. He handmade it. It was 3.5 inches by 5.5 inches, and it was in 1842. And that handmade card took off, and soon the printed cards were all the rage in England.
He mailed it? What?
I don't know. It didn't say if he mailed it or delivered it himself. Uh-huh. I don't know. All I know is he was the first one.
He obviously gave it to somebody, yes, as a Christmas card.
Yes.
And that started it.
And so it was 30 years later that the Americans started sending Christmas cards. I don't know why it took 30 years. But anyway, that's was in my notes, that 30 years later we started sending Christmas cards. And in 1875, Louis Prang, who was a native of Germany, began making Christmas cards. Today, there are more than 2 billion Christmas cards exchanged each year within the United States. Two billion.
Wow.
So it's a huge business.
And I think it's dropped off, though, a lot, don't you?
I don't know. Well, I think you might be right, now that I think of it, that
I maybe send maybe 5 or 10 to very close friends and family.
Yeah, because
I don't have the long lists I used to have when I was, you know, in my 20s.
Yes. Yeah, because I think it's the same with us, that I definitely mail fewer cards than I did years ago. I don't know what that's about.
Is it 2 different prices, too? If you seal the envelope, it's one price, and if you leave it open, you fold a flap underneath, and you don't seal it, then it's a different price?
Oh,
it used to be that way. I don't know if it's that way still, but...
Well, all I know is it's only 44 cents to send a card, so that's not a lot of money. Yeah. So if you have
it can add up, you know.
Certain people, like your grandparents or really close friends,
yeah,
or maybe your doctor that's helped you out, or just special people. You don't have to send them to everybody, but I couldn't believe that in the U.S. we send 2 billion cards just within the U.S.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a big business. And I think we all like to receive Christmas cards. I personally save most of mine.
I put them up on the mantelpiece.
I have that in my notes here.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
So I have even some of us decorate with cards, displaying them on a shelf or mantel.
Have you gotten any so far? I've gotten one card so far.
I don't think we've gotten one yet.
Uh-huh.
If
yeah.
we have, I've forgotten. So it may seem old-fashioned in 2012, but people really enjoy receiving Christmas cards.
Well, now they have the e-cards, you know, the emails. And and some of the cards are very nice. Have you ever gotten any of those? They're, you know, they're animated. The snow is falling.
Yes.
You see Santa, you know, picking up a toy. And,
uh-huh.
And they're really kind of nice.
Yeah.
Entertaining.
Here's just some greeting card trivia. In 1910, a man named J.C. Hall began selling Christmas postcards out of a shoebox at a YMCA in Kansas City, Missouri. His one-man enterprise turned into what we know today as Hallmark cards.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I wonder.
That's how he started.
He was a Hallmark?
Yes, his name was J.C. Hall.
J.C. Hall,
yes.
Hallmark, okay.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, nice to know that.
So I think you were going to talk about the history of Currier and Ives.
Well,
and
a lot of the
Christmas
earlier
cards.
Christmas, a lot of the Hallmark Christmas cards have Currier and Ives lithographs, and they were in the... Around the first Christmas card time in 1850?
1842.
Mm-hmm. Well, Currier and Ives were around that period of time as well. They were in business around that period of time, around 1850. And at first, they did lithographs that were just disaster scenes or political satire. Fine arts, very, very popular pictures that were in the public eye, they would make duplications of them and make lithographs of them. And once they started to have a I think it's like the first assembly line thing they had. They hired German women who were they had a background in artistry, and they would get the they would have an artist copy a famous a picture, and then engrave it on the limestone slab, and then from that print out the lithograph, and then they would pass the lithograph onto the line of women that had like 8 or 10 women, and each one had a different color that they would add to the lithograph. It went down the line, and once it got to the other end, the lithograph was finished in full color. So what I found out was that they were paid $8 for every 100 lithographs that they finished. So it's kind of interesting that that fed into the popularity of the Christmas card, though. Then a lot of the lithographs were transposed onto Christmas card greetings. So the early Christmas cards had a lot of courier and Ives, horses going down with mm-hmm. sleigh
That's what
being
I remember.
Drawn, and yeah, they're all courier and Ives. They're just the best, the highest quality Christmas cards, I think.
And how much money did you say the ladies made for so many?
I think it was $6 or $8 for every 100 that they did.
That they painted,
yeah.
Hand painted.
Of course, you're going back to the mid, 1800s. So, you know. But they were in business for a good 25 years, and they really worked it out to a science. And James Ives was the Nathaniel Currier, and James Ives. That's where their names were. And James Ives was the one that did most of the bookkeeping, and figuring out the best way to do things, the most efficient way to do things. And Nathaniel was out there finding the works of art and making contacts with wholesaling and retailing it. So they built a fabulous business.
And they were both native New Yorkers?
Native New Yorkers. And later on, it became that, times changed and other printing companies were doing it differently and faster and more productive. And so eventually their sons took it over the business from them. But they didn't last very much longer. I think Currier died in the late 1800s, 1895 or something like that, and Ives soon after. Then the sons took it over, and they only kept the business going for another like 10 or 15 years. Then they went under. But many of the lithographs are sought after today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Currier and Ives, they're just great. But that's all part of the Christmas scene,
mm-hmm.
really.
Very classic. They're all classics.
Yeah.
Yeah, every card.
Yeah.
Some people even home make their own cards, which I think is kind of nice, you know?
Yeah, if you can, if you're pretty good with a crayon.
Well, a lot of people get the good stock paper, and then maybe they have an ink pad and the different little stars and mm-hmm. or maybe the nativity scene or something that they sketch out. I love those that are homemade.
I tried once with, what do you call it, construction paper?
Uh-huh.
A colored construction paper. I took red, I cut a box out, a square, folded it in half, and got white, a pen with white ink, and drew a holly leaf on it. It wasn't really that good.
Did you just make one or a whole bunch of them?
I made 4 or 5 of them and never heard anything from who I sent them to. They never called me back.
Oh, for all that hard work.
Yeah, all that
you
hard
did.
Work.
Gosh,
yeah.
That's not fair.
Did you ever make a
Oh, I'm sure I did.
Oh.
And, when you're a kid, you probably made them yourself.
Yeah.
And because the grandparents would like that and your parents would like that if you homemade it. And, some people might put in their Christmas cards, whether homemade or not, like even if you aren't sending a gift, if you're just sending a card, you could maybe put a photograph of yourself, you know, win the card, or or put a recipe, your favorite recipe, you know,
write that
out.
I like the family shots, you know, the mother, the father, and the kids, and the dog on the front of Merry Christmas. I like those a lot.
Yes, yeah. A lot of people do those too.
I get them from my nephew and my nieces. And
with the computer,
it's really nice.
Now,
yeah.
it's
knock
easy
them right
to
off.
Do.
Sure.
Yeah. I like those too. They're just more personal, aren't they?
Yeah. I wonder, sometimes I receive Christmas cards and I don't return a card. I used to years ago, but I'm very lazy now.
See,
is that sort of not, that's not really too good, is it?
Yeah, because sometimes you'll get a card from somebody that maybe you haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And if I experience that, the first thing I do is go get a Christmas card, send them one. To return the gesture, I guess.
And then sometimes you get busy and I have to make out.
Probably won't be getting a card from them this
right,
year.
Right. I've also heard that if you send a card to somebody for 4 years in a row and they don't return the card, then you can take them off your Christmas off your list.
Yeah, 4 years. Wow.
Yeah. Well.
Well, sometimes you know you don't know what's going on in their lives, or maybe they've moved. I don't know.
I'd like to, when I don't send Christmas cards, and I must say that I'm a little lazy and I'm not all that good at it. But during the holiday season, there are special friends that I haven't sent a card to. I like to give them a telephone call and say, how are we doing, and happy holiday. And
sure.
You know, I think that's the personal touch is really nice.
That's even better if you have the time.
Yeah, I do.
I save most. I have a couple of boxes that I save them.
Oh, more than a year? Really?
All of my cards.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Maybe I'm a pack rat. I don't know.
Well, do you have a clutter problem?
I just can't stand to throw them away.
As long as they're in a box.
Yeah, they're all boxed
up. All over the place.
And they'll be fun to look at, 10 years down the road or whatnot. So, anyway, I thought we'd just go over that. I thought this little story about how Hallmark got its start. Because look how huge they are.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just interesting.
You know, also a little side thing of the Hallmark they had the female the women in the Hallmark women, the family, they all had a very distinct profile. So that's how when a person they have a mark, the Hallmark mark, I'm not expressing it properly. But there's a certain look that something is stamped a Hallmark. It's because they have the same
saying.
Classic beauty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he's a billionaire now, isn't he?
Yeah.
I bet he is.
If he's still alive.
So I thought, we've gone over the cards. That's something I wanted to talk about, and I thought we could talk about just some do's and don'ts if you're invited to a party or a dinner, Christmas dinner, or any gathering like that.
Uh-huh.
Just some do's and don'ts for this time of year.
Yeah.
If you're going to be late to anything, whether it's a luncheon, a breakfast, Christmas breakfast, anything, Christmas Eve, if you're even going to be 15 minutes late, I think that you should call the person that you're attending for their function and say, "Hi, I'm just calling to say I'm running 15 minutes late, but we'll be there within 15 minutes."
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've often wondered, if you're invited for dinner at 6, is it really proper to arrive at 6? Can you arrive 15 minutes early? Lots of people I notice, if you plan a dinner at 6, they arrive at 6:30. Do you know what I mean? Or not I mean, good. Is it not good? It's not proper to be a little bit late.
No,
I mean sometimes people are traditionally late. If you say the party starts at
fashionably late. They
fashionably
call that.
Late.
Yeah, but actually,
but
if
for
food,
dinner,
if
for
food
like
is
a party, a party you can arrive right. late, but for dinner you don't.
But if they've cooked all day and worked on, you know, some of their desserts and whatnot for 3 or 4 days. If they say 6 o'clock, you need to be there at 6 o'clock.
But say if you're, but you're not going to serve the food at six.
Maybe
right?
not, but that's when they want you there because if it's a you know 10 or 12 people coming, it does take some time to get everybody seated and the
right.
the dishes out on the table or the counter
and hors d'oeuvres first
sure.
or cocktail first
right?
or whatever.
So I go with if they say. Please come at 6. That's what time you get there.
Don't you find though that people are traditionally like a little bit late? I mean, they don't. I think because there's that period of time of gathering everybody together, having the hors d'oeuvres and having a cocktail, that there's that play time in between that they feel that they can arrive a little bit later than usual. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do.
Yes, but I do think.
But
many
I mean,
people
I'm on time all
that.
The time. I like to say 7 o'clock. I'm there at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. People look at me, he's on,
but that's
he's
what
on time too much, isn't he? I'm always on time.
But that's why
we give
a specific time for everything that we do nowadays, and you need to adhere to that if you've been invited to go to someone's house and eat, whether it's your grandmother, your mother, it doesn't matter.
So get there on time.
Yes, get there on time. And if you're going to be late, please call and say I'm going to be about 15 minutes late.
Yeah.
You need to. You don't leave people hanging. Well, where's
I like
that Joe? You know, do we have to wait for Joe? Gosh, when is he going to get here?
Yeah.
You just call and say that you're running a little late.
Yeah.
That's the common courtesy.
Yeah.
For the person
that's
gone to all that trouble.
Yeah.
And. You know, let's talk about the menu. If it's even if it's something that you don't like, you don't ever say, I don't like this. You don't say anything like that, and you take at least one bite. It's you have to at least eat some of the food, even if you're a very picky eater. You don't really like what they're serving. They've been gracious enough to invite you, so you need to just. Eat a little something and be polite.
You're talking about one of the things on the plate or?
Well, what if they're having fish and you just can't stand fish and you also don't like sauerkraut and that's on the menu?
Uh-huh.
You know, what do? You take a little bite
and
just be, you know, happy that you were invited.
And also I think like chopping it up and spreading it all over the plate makes it look like it's been worked on.
Or, you know, just take a small bite and be pleasant and never say a word. Oh, I really don't like that. You don't say anything like that.
Yeah.
You just try and take a little bite here and there and just be as pleasant as you can be. And then you can go home and fix yourself a sandwich, you know.
And also if there's, like, really good conversation going on around the table that takes the attention off. Who's eating and who is not eating
and why
are they not eating
what's
in front of them.
Are they picky? Do they, you know, is it my cooking they don't like? Or, yeah, you're right. The more people, the merrier.
Yeah.
And
it's also fun, too, when around the table there's some really engaging conversation.
So the next topic is about receiving gifts.
Uh-huh.
And... You've probably experienced this where you send a gift to someone and never hear back from them,
uh-huh.
like Christmas passes even.
Yeah.
And you still haven't gotten a card or a call, thank you so much. You really need to either send a thank you note, you need some acknowledgement to that person that sent you the gift.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's unforgivable.
It is.
If someone didn't respond to a gift, I just clearly would not give them another gift.
Especially when you're miles away. Like our family's all spread out down south. if they don't acknowledge that they received what I sent them, that leaves me wondering, gosh, maybe it never even got there.
Yeah.
So that's the number one thing in gift giving.
Yeah.
Let the people know that you received the gift by a thank you note or a call. Yeah. Or an email. I love my new purple sweater. Whatever. Just acknowledge that you received it.
I'm thinking of sending my... I have a friend in Israel who is doing a Hanukkah at the same time as Christmas. And I'm sure that they have the same kind of greetings back and forth. I know that they, my friend Pini Lev just lit... I talked to him today in Israel, and he lit the fourth Hanukkah candle. And it's so nice when Hanukkah runs the same time as Christmas, because they have wonderful customs as well.
Yes, they do.
He was telling me they had fried donuts that they eat. And they sing songs and tell stories, and it's kind of wonderful.
It is so wonderful.
I just wanted to say that about my friend.
And what's his name?
Pini, P-I-N-I.
Hi, Pini.
Lev, L-E-V. And Lev means heart in the Hebrew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Well, you have a happy Hanukkah.
Have a happy Peeny. Hanukkah, Pini. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for being on the program. I enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you for having me, Nan. Real pleasure. Thank you. And happy holiday.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.